It's Bill Leff. It's Judy Pilak. Judy's filling in for Wendy. We're doing the show just a little bit differently today. Both Judy and I are standing, and we ask that you do the same.
Tired.
I know many of you are driving right now, and it's difficult, but come on. We're putting forth the effort. You should, too.
Right.
Everybody's standing
today. We're
going
to stand the whole show.
Are you tired? You're tired?
My shins hurt a little bit, but
don't you feel though? There's so much more energy flow. I honestly,
you are very animated. I have to say,
I've done it standing up in years, and this feels good.
Wow.
I like this.
You're going to be a stander from now on.
Yeah, yep. All right, so
I might go back to sitting. We'll see.
Already?
No, not now.
See how
but...
you offered me a challenge. You said, "Let's see which one of us buckles
right.
first and sits down."
Right. I see who blinks first.
Yeah. All right, stare contest. Go. Wouldn't that be the worst radio game in the world?
Yes.
I used to listen to
this
WGN.
This might be the worst radio game too, standing,
right,
but we'll try it anyway.
I used to listen to WGN, and then they started doing stare contests, and
yeah,
I couldn't. Who could listen to
they
that?
They couldn't keep up.
Yeah. All right, so one of the best, most iconic, the best known and iconic houses in TV history, without a doubt, is the Brady Bunch house. So now it looks like they may be tearing it down. It's been for sale for a while. They're asking a lot of money for it. I'll give you all the details. You just saw this house
fairly recently.
I just saw it
right in person up close. I drove right by it. And it's funny. We were driving down the street, my son and I, and I said, so we found out what street it was on.
Yeah.
And I said, don't tell me the address. And I'm driving slowly. And, you know, you can't miss it.
Right.
Now, it does have a big kind of ugly wrought iron fence in front of it.
I think that's been added in
over
the last
years. Yeah,
because I think so many people when they got there thought I'm going to go touch the house
right.
and have my picture taken in the driveway.
And think about it, they only showed the front of the house. I mean, that was all they used,
well,
right?
Well, can I tell you the inside of the house is not what you think it is. They shot that on a soundstage.
But they didn't mimic the house?
No. No. No, it doesn't look like that inside. Just the outside. So you're paying for I mean obviously
right,
when you
just
buy the
facade.
House.
I mean just the front and
yeah.
not this and really just the front of the house, not the side.
Right.
Not, even though they did have a basketball hoop and a driveway and I was like, "Oh, maybe that's where they also no,
maybe
I don't
Peter
think
and
so.
Bobby will be shooting hoops. I'll just stay and meet them."
I envision them right
there. It does look like the back patio though. I looked at some of the aerial pictures.
Steve, it's inspired by like that form of
right.
architecture, but it's not
still inside.
Yeah, the outside is different and the patio is similar. I've seen that too, but it's similar enough to go, "Yeah, well that
I mean,
was...
did they ever shoot a scene there? That's my question.
They shot exteriors where you never saw the. I mean,
right,
it
no,
was,
were there
wah,
actors
wah, 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 wah,
on the?
No.
No.
No. See, and it's just
you would only
amazing.
See the house and then cut to the family inside we,
and the
meeting.
Lawn with the AstroTurf.
Yes,
we
and
drove
see,
by it a few years ago. It's a pretty cool thing to see, but you have to know where you're going.
Of course,
and
but Mary, you know why the AstroTurf, right, in the backyard?
Why?
Because that was all shot inside. Those backyard
oh,
scenes
right.
that was in the sound studio.
So when Don Drysdale was on, was that really Don Drysdale?
That was actually Don Drysdale.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Gracious.
And why
crack me up.
That
and Joe Namath, too.
Why that house of all the other house, all the other shows, why is that so much more iconic? Is it because they always showed the front of the house when they started every scene?
It's a combination of that, and it's the sweet spot for us, for the people of our generation growing up on that show.
But like the Partridge Family, I don't... I
That's a real
even
house
tell,
too,
I know, but
it doesn't stand
I don't even remember
stand out.
What the house looked like.
Right.
Did
but
they
the
ever
Brady
show
Bunch
the
you
they
always
showed
remembered.
Mary, they yeah. showed it, and I can tell you one episode that you may remember that will prove this. There was an episode where they hired a painter to paint their garage door, and he painted a naked lady on their garage door, and all the neighbors rebelled.
Oh.
Did you see that episode?
I don't remember.
I
and then
say
did David Cassidy come up with a song about it?
Yeah, he wrote a song about it, and everybody was happy in the end. I think it was Artie Johnson who played the painter, but I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was.
Really?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like even in the Partridge Family, they had tighter shots. They didn't have, like the Brady
of the
Bunch,
house, you
right,
mean?
Of the house.
Yeah.
I at least knew that entire house.
Oh, yeah.
They always had these wide shots and the staircase, and you just knew where everything, the den was downstairs and where the kitchen was
right.
and the bedrooms.
Well, the staircase especially because, especially in the early seasons of Brady Bunch, the family would line up, the kids would line up on the staircase
right.
for what I called the cute shot, where it was smallest to biggest, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl.
Oh, don't think we didn't do that after that,
your
take
family,
pictures.
Your family
it's ridiculous.
Did the same.
Anyone who had that kind of staircase, get up there. Everyone stand up there and take a picture.
In order of size.
Yes, exactly.
And girl, boy, girl, boy,
Are
girl, boy.
Are you sure that house doesn't look like that?
Inside, it does
it's
not.
Too big. It's
it
too
doesn't.
Big. From the outside, it looks like regular split level.
There are pictures. You can see, Judy,
and
the inside.
Split level.
Oh, the inside.
Looks like
I don't want to believe it. I want to believe it. That's how that house looks.
It has a built-in radio on one of the walls.
Does it?
That, yeah.
All right, well, that's cool.
There was a time where, no, all right, so now we're going back.
But wait, what does it look like, Steve? Is it? It
looks
just
like
your...
a dated split level house that needs to be torn down.
Wow.
For how much?
Hard
Bill?
Words.
Torn down
the house
for...
is currently selling for $1.85 million.
It's crazy.
Just under $2 million to buy the house that the Bradys used as their exterior. Wow. There was a time in California where they had a house that was patterned after the Petrie house in the Dick Van Dyke Show. It didn't look like, because I don't know that they ever show the outside. Did they ever show the outside on the Dick Van Dyke Show? But you were so used to seeing the inside.
Right.
So there was a developer in California who had a whole subdivision of houses that looked like the Petrie house. I don't know how well they sold.
At the time, probably very well.
Right. Right,
they
right.
have the two beds in the bedroom?
Yeah, you would need the beds to be split up because that's how things were back then.
When I was a kid, I always thought the Petrie house was an apartment.
Did you? Why?
Because it was so small.
Because she grew up in a mansion where there's a Walgreens now.
But it was like, wait a minute, weren't there stairs? Did they have an upstairs or a downstairs? It was just Richie's room was way off to the side.
It was
two
a very
bedrooms.
Basic design, but it wasn't, it was small, but it wasn't that, like, to me, the small one would be the Cramden apartment from
I
Jackie
just,
Gleason.
I
that was,
thought it was like an apartment for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Or a townhouse.
But you would see scenes like when they were in the kitchen, there was a sliding patio door that they would take if they were going to go to the helper's house, to Millie and Jerry's house.
Millie and Jerry's. I did think it was a townhouse.
Was that their name, the helpers?
The helpers.
Yeah, the helpers.
Millie and Jerry
Millie
and their
Jerry.
Son Hamburger.
That was the last name?
Yeah.
Millie Helper.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit younger than you guys. I didn't watch that.
I watched that show every night.
No,
my dad had to watch Dick Van Dyke.
Never
every
missed
night.
It.
6:30.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, man.
And it followed what show? Come on, Mary, you can do
it
this.
It followed that. Well, it wasn't the news on before that?
Gilligan's Island?
No.
Oh,
come on.
Man.
This is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
The Honeymooners?
Oh. No. Forever on Channel 9. At 6:30, it was the Dick Van Dyke Show, but at 6 o'clock, it was always the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh.
See, we always ate dinner at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So as soon as my dad got done eating dinner, he'd go park himself in his nice chair and watch Dick Van Dyke and
someday,
laugh his head off.
This will all be a Walgreens.
Yeah, he just loved
it. Why do I even do it? Someday this will be a Walgreens. I'll have wasted my life. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Judy and Fuendi on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Judy Pilak.
Hey, Wendy's we can on dance vacation. When the music comes on.
Yeah, because we're standing.
We're
we
standing.
Have, if you and I want to dance.
I just did a little jig.
Let's
did you
dance.
See me?
Let's dance. Steve, are you dancing or standing in the newsroom?
No, I don't stand. I prefer to sit.
How about that? Mary, you're not standing either, huh?
No. I got to sit.
Steve, right. Weren't you one of the people who was excited about being able to stand?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't have a standing microphone.
There were a couple people who were so excited when they heard that, and I didn't get it at all.
I'm too tall.
That's
the problem. Because then I'm too far from the computer and the board and stuff.
All right. You have
that's
an excuse.
That's funny because I feel like everything is 6 feet tall. Like, I can barely reach it.
You're not that small, though. How tall are you? 5'4", 5'5"?
It's interesting. I am 5'2".
No, I would not have guessed that.
And
wow, that is interesting.
You know what? I have a lot more where that came from. People always think I'm taller.
You project yourself as 5'5".
Yeah, I'm a big person.
Yeah.
Larger How's than that life. One, Steve?
Larger
Very
than life.
Very big. Yeah. I'm a big person.
Oh, I have to give some credit to, you know, Dave Ennett. From the,
yes.
He does sports here on WGN. I have to give Dave some credit because he called this incredibly accurately. The other night they did the All-Star game, and there was a very strange story. Josh Hader, a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, as he's pitching.
H-A-D-E-R?
H-A-D-E-R.
Because people are thinking it should be
H-A-T.
Yes.
Because of the story. So while he's pitching in the All-Star game, we find out that years ago, Josh Hader said some horrible, horrible things on social media. Ripping into the gay community, into the African-American community, into women. You picked the group. He said some nasty things about them. All this came to light during the All-Star game. So we were talking about that the day after the All-Star game. What do you do with Josh Hader? He did this when he was a teenager. He's now in his mid-20s. He apologized. He said, I was a kid back then. I wasn't thinking clearly. I'm an adult now. I don't believe these things anymore. So what do you do with a guy like this? It was my belief at the time that baseball had to suspend him to say, hey, watch what you guys are saying. Don't be ripping on people. This is horrible. It makes baseball look bad. It makes everyone look bad. And Dave said, no, what they'll do is they'll give him some sort of supervision. Well, we found out last night that that's what they're doing. They're going to put him through sensitivity training. which is...
Well, because really, you could, to suspend him, he didn't do it while he was a ball player.
True.
That would have been weird. Yeah,
true.
This, at least they did something.
Right.
And how old is he now?
Mid-20s. I don't remember exactly, but he's in his mid-20s.
24, 25.
Somewhere in there.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he...
It was 6 or 7 years ago that he did these series of messages.
Misfortunate
very
comments.
Nasty messages on social media.
I was torn on that story because I thought... You're 17.
Right.
You weren't 13. You know, it's like, because they kept people, he was in his teens. Well, you're almost, 17 is pretty old to me. But then I said, okay, kids are stupid. They're stupid. It just bothered me that.
But most of us know at 17 that you're saying or doing something that is potentially dangerous for years to come. And I know
people don't think people do think that. But most of us at 17.
Yeah.
No, those words are not acceptable.
Right.
Those comments. That's my point. At 17, okay, you're still kind of, maybe you're trying to impress someone or do whatever. But that's bad. You're not 10 where you don't maybe understand the significance. So because I don't think about, how will that play in 5 years? And I think a lot of people don't think about that. But what they should think about is just... That's not right.
Right, sure.
And,
that should be right. That should
be
first
and foremost. What kind of environment are you in that you think that's okay?
Right, right.
That was my issue.
Yeah.
But after hearing Dave Enid too, he's like Solomon, right?
Isn't he? He is.
I'm like, all right, you know what, though? People, you do change a lot in college. You do, you go or whatever. Those years you're away.
Because you're exposed to people that you're not used
right.
to. If I don't know Bill
Even
Hader's
history. Even college or working or whatever.
Josh Hader. I don't know his history. I don't know if he came from a very isolated part of the country where he was only exposed to people
where
who were like
him. Where maybe
it
was acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, people do. And he seems like he's... Sorry, and his teammates stood up for him, so, okay.
Right.
I mean, as long as we're all moving toward the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think
so. And everything's a lesson, I guess, these days.
So baseball did the right thing? Some sensitivity training classes, which I guess, for any business, because I know people in other lines of work who have done things and they've had to go through this sensitivity training. That's the company's way of saying, hey, we did our part. All we could do is, is say to him, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. So,
You know what? America needs some sensitivity training. Seriously.
Right, that's true.
I want it. I don't even think I need it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
But I want to hear what this is about. What is that training exactly?
Yeah. You're right, though.
You know what?
The whole country needs to come in on a Wednesday.
And we need some hard lessons to be learned.
I'm with you.
So.
Here's the other thing that I didn't talk about at the All-Star Game. You didn't watch any of it, did you?
I did.
Did you watch some of the All-Star Game? All right. I have seen them do this before, and to me, it is the most emotional thing I've seen on TV of the year. MasterCard has this thing where it's called Stand Up to Cancer, where everybody in the ballpark, the ballpark gets as quiet as you've ever heard a ballpark. And keep in mind, it's capacity people. The crowd is there. Everybody participates in this. They all hold up a little card that's been provided by MasterCard, and it says, I stand for, and then there's a blank line, and then you write in the name of the person who's meant something new in your life, who has, sadly gone through cancer. And every year when they do this, I watch this, and it just becomes, my eyes just flood with tears. Because there's all these big, strong ball players that you go, these guys aren't going to be affected by it. No, they are affected by it. Then they show the umpires and they're affected by it. Then they show the crowd and the crowd is just so quiet and polite and they're all holding up a card and it's people who you don't know. It's just somebody who means something to that particular person. I don't know these people, but you just see those numbers and boy, I just
so
melt
touching.
Every time I see it. I know you
did you see my name?
Well, I know you've been through cancer. I mean,
did anyone hold up my name?
I didn't see your name held up.
I wrote it in a card at
Steve,
home.
You did?
I stood up.
You stood up?
And you finally stood?
I didn't stop talking.
But isn't that, honestly, that is such a touching moment when they do this, and it just shows you no matter who you are, you're affected by it.
Yeah.
Can I say?
And I'm so bad, though, because I am a cancer survivor, and I'm like, you have a really good agency. To come up with that,
I really think it's such a gimmick, Bill.
Yeah,
why do you think that?
Well, because
I don't usually fall for gimmicks like this, but this time I do.
I don't know. It's like I would love it, or I think I would like it more if they were standing up for something to change human behavior. If it was hatred or something like that, where people could stand up for themselves and make changes.
Yeah.
they're not really standing. I mean, what are they soliciting donations? I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah,
I don't know what their witness sort of helps in the fight against cancer.
They
is my point.
End up earning money for cancer research as a result of it. MasterCard. They always post how much money MasterCard is sending to cancer research because
of MasterCard's
this.
Logo on that when they do that.
It is.
Yeah,
let's face it. At the most an awareness. You know,
that's my point, Judy. What are you aware of? You're aware that people...
That people have cancer.
Everyone
cancer,
knows, but there's no doubt about it. We all know that it exists. Right.
Right? Yeah. So what I'm saying, I guess, is if I want people to stand up against something, I want them to stand up against a behavior that can be changed.
I know.
A disease can't be changed by them standing up in the stadium.
But we've had this conversation before, Steve. It's that, especially when it comes to breast cancer... The movement is so good and solid. You know what I mean? It's so solid. It's the people behind the movement are so good at what they do.
Sure.
They get their message out there all the time.
But can I? All right.
And that's what it's about.
In that particular case, all right, so here's what goes on. During the football season, that's when breast cancer awareness is. So the NFL has been doing a thing for I don't know how many years where the players all wear pink and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about the amount of money that's going to be donated. However, if you look up those numbers, the number that actually goes to breast cancer awareness is unbelievably low. The NFL keeps a huge, huge chunk of that money. And that's really deceptive, I think. And I don't know. Maybe that's the case with this, too. I don't know that. I just know that every year when they do this, I'm watching the game, and I melt when I see this because everybody.
Well, but do you melt, and then do you go donate money?
I haven't in this particular instance, but I have given money to cancer research in the past.
But that will encourage you to donate?
Because
I think what Steve and I, the curmudgeons, are saying is like, even a survivor.
Right.
And then it doesn't really move me to not that sort of thing. But I think it's very effective.
Oh, it is.
Making other people move.
But I can't figure out, because I've tried to dissect it and go, why am I so... It's people I don't know holding up the names of other people I don't know. So why am I so affected by it? I mean, we've all had somebody we've lost.
Because it's touching. It's just, it's a touching thing to see.
Oh,
people are
tearing
up and...
The only other thing that gets me that way, and you see this on the internet on a daily basis... They'll show you a video of a kid who's at their school, and the kid is making a presentation about their dad who's off fighting the war.
Ugh,
and then all of a sudden,
I could spend hours on
the dad just shows up.
Facebook video after video after video after video of that.
Judy, I have seen in the last 4 or 5 years, I've easily seen 250 of those, and there hasn't been a single one that I've gone, again.
I can better that. I have rewatched some of them.
Yeah,
that is so. And again, to Steve's point. I get it. It's so commercial.
Right.
But, you know, we think of all those years where we didn't honor veterans.
I know.
And now I can't get enough of it.
I know.
I'm sorry. I just can't get enough of it. And it just, it's just.
Sometimes you'll see it's a kid and it's at his school and, you know, they're all making speeches about their dad and the kid's speech is about how I'm so glad your dads are here because my dad is off fighting in the war. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's a box on stage and the box opens up and the dad, the soldier's in there. And I just go, I knew he was going to be in there.
You knew it was. Yeah,
I knew it was in there.
Yeah, you're waiting with anticipation just like everyone else.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
That
gets
me every time. I just fall apart when I see that.
They've found the button that
the emotional button.
The emotional button on all of us.
I know.
I mean, even I'm pretty hardcore, and man, every time.
I know.
But then again, I cry when someone sings a great song on, The Voice.
That does you in too.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the transaction is there. Like is it MasterCard?
It is MasterCard, yeah.
I wonder if they must be paying Major League Baseball to do that.
Steve, without a doubt, there's some deal in place because at the end of the day, MasterCard... They want to be the number one credit card company. So their name is out there. It's effective to me because you know how so many times you see a commercial and you just go, oh, that was such a great commercial. The guy with the dune buggy and then he drove through. What was it for? I don't know. I do remember it being MasterCard. And maybe it's because their logo's all over it. And maybe because they keep calling it MasterCard Stand Up to Cancer. But there's a deal in place. MasterCard's making some money on it, obviously.
You know, Major League Baseball's making money on it.
Right.
Because they must buy the event like they would buy commercial time or something.
Oh, I guess
so. But
you
wonder if, does Major League Baseball go and put that out and say, okay, give me a bid. Who wants to do the...
Oh, I don't know the answer
our,
to that.
You know, our cancer thing minute today.
I mean, I agree with you, Bill. It is touching when you see, and you put it well, like an individual super player holding a card about his mom or his high school teacher or something.
Yeah.
I get all that, but I just... It's kind of manipulative to me, I think.
Well, it's funny. You don't see anybody sitting this one out. You know, that's been such a big controversial issue with sports is people taking a knee and what does that mean and who aren't they honoring in doing this? But with this, I mean, unless somebody's really well hidden, the players are all lined up. And the amount of time that's spent on this is unbelievable to me. In a day and age where every second on network television counts, they don't waste... You know, Wendy and I have talked about this in the past. There was a time where they would play a theme song to a show, and the theme song was a minute and a half. And now theme songs, if there is one, are 5 or 6 seconds because every second counts. So when they do the Stand Up To Cancer thing, it's easily 2 or 3 minutes that they just drift around.
So I think then what you're saying, there is big money
There's got to be.
Yeah.
So MasterCard's paying that money to baseball.
Or not cancer?
MasterCard is probably paying the money to Major League Baseball. With what they're getting out of this is hopefully good word of mouth. Hopefully, right?
Well, I mean, I think, what's back to the point. What's the point? Is it the awareness? Because let's face it, doesn't everyone know someone who had cancer? Or is it to garner money for the cause?
Couldn't you say that, though, about any, you know, every month we're pitched things here on the show of it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You pick whatever you want. It's always something Awareness Month. And we always, amongst us, between Jasmine and Wendy and I, we always go, well, that's something that people are aware of. There's no doubt about it. But it's also, it's such a worthy cause.
Right. So I don't know, are people that aware?
About cancer? I hope
so. About how pervasive it is. I think that's the point, right? Look at how many people are affected by it?
Sure.
I don't know. Because that's like a dichotomy right there. If that many people are affected by it, you would think everyone would know about it.
But at this point, wouldn't you say, do you know anybody? Can you name one single person in your life that hasn't been affected by somebody having cancer?
No.
Everybody is, right?
Everyone.
That's it's everyone. I mean. So I still remember the first time.
So what's the awareness piece?
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it better than that. It's called awareness, but the bigger message is we have to do something about it. We have to fight it. We have to, they say stand up for it, but we have to donate money for better research, more and better research, so that one day, maybe not in our lifetimes, but in a lifetime
and
beyond that.
And there's the key, research. It's got to all be about research.
That's it.
That's you nailed where the money's got to go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to look up where the money goes here, because now.
Will they show the percentage? I don't know if they do.
It's called Stand Up To Cancer.
Yeah.
Featured at the All-Star Game.
Yeah. All right, let's do this, because we will look it up and hopefully find out an answer for you. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. There's more show ahead. It's Bill Leff, and it's Judy Pylekin for Wendy on WGN. What are regular people restaurants? I don't know what that means.
How would I know?
I don't go there.
I'm not regular.
Regular people restaurant. All right.
Sounds
it's
good.
Bill. Yeah, I enjoy a regular people restaurant as opposed to the other kind. It's Bill Leff and it's Judy Pylak. Judy sitting in for Wendy. Wendy is in, she's in Disneyland and she'll be back on Monday. Hopefully with those Mouska ears for everybody to wear.
Oh, you've got to buy those.
Those would be fun.
And they sell them everywhere, by
the
way. Yes. Everywhere.
Yes, they do. We were talking about the Stand Up To Cancer movement that took place at the All-Star Game. They also do it, I was reminded by several texts, they also do it during the World Series. Just as effective, right? Here's a text from 815. I'm a breast cancer survivor. I get very upset at how much money is made in pink merchandise. This goes back to something I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL's been doing a thing for I don't know how many years where on one given Sunday, they really stress.
I feel like it's Mother's Day, too, for some reason. Is it? Can they do that?
Yeah, they do. They do. But they go out of their way to put pink uniforms on the players.
I know some women who also are upset that their Mother's Day is sort of co-opted by a cancer awareness drive.
That's interesting, Steve. I didn't even think about that. But you are almost led to believe, and they're very tricky in the wording of this. You are almost led to believe that if you donate X amount of dollars, that breast cancer awareness will receive X amount of dollars. And sadly, that's not even close to the truth. And they got to do something about that, because that's
yeah.
I mean, actually, you could
say that about so many charities.
Yeah.
You know, the overhead they take is ridiculous. Just real quick though, they've since MLB's $10 million founding grant in 2008, the league and its 30 teams have donated more than $43 million, which I have to say I feel is kind of low.
You thought it'd be higher than
that? Well, in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a substantial amount of money, but.
Right. You would almost imagine.
What does the NFL make on one Sunday?
That's the question. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's go to Susan. She knows a little something about this. Susan, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts?
Hi. Oh, there's so many thoughts. And listening to everything that you have to say right now, so many thoughts. I'm a breast cancer survivor twice.
Oh, good.
So I get it. B, I think originally the Stand Up to Cancer came from something from stand-up comedians. Weren't they trying to raise money?
Yeah.
It was more about that than standing up to a bad thing happening or something like that.
Right. It's possible.
But I agree with your, I think that they should be taking less money. It should be that people are deceived a little bit into thinking that their whole donation goes there.
Yeah.
I was just listening while I was on hold, that whole ruining your Mother's Day thing.
What do you
I
think
agree
of that?
With that.
Do you? Yeah.
I agree.
How come?
You know, and it's funny. So here I am, a breast cancer survivor twice. It runs in my family.
Yeah.
Years ago, they had this whole big thing where, you know, the whole family would go, and my cousin actually had a business and she had a booth there. And they would all go, and it was like their way, you know, and we would honor and memorialize the people that have passed. And for me, they were walking for me. But you know what? I had three children. Mother's Day, I wanted to sit home and do nothing. I didn't want to go.
Yeah, right.
I kind of agree with you.
And when I stood up to my family and said, I'm not going, my mother gave me a real talking to. Are you kidding? We're going for you. This is ridiculous. I'm like, well, you can go. I don't want to go. I'm not going.
Wow.
I hated to be that way. But, yeah. You know, I was one of the ones with the disease. It was my Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay home.
Right. I don't blame you for
so
that.
I get that. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Well, more than anything, we're thrilled that you're still here. I can't imagine going through this. I mean, Judy has a similar story to tell, but going through this once is enough. You've been through this twice, so good for you for still being here, Susan.
Thank you. And, you know, on that note, I have to say, though, I really honestly, from the bottom of my heart, think that it's harder for everybody else. I mean, I had a disease. I just wanted to live, and it was easy for me. I wasn't brave. I did what the doctors told me to do. I had no choice. I got prodded and operated on and all that and did what they said to do, but everybody else was like, what do we do for you? How do we help you? They didn't know.
Yeah.
Really harder for them, I think.
And expanding on that, it's funny. I don't want to forget it, but I don't like to harp on it. It's been there, done that. And I think a lot of survivors are like that. Not all, you know, some people I know they do it differently. But yeah, in my case, it was hard. And you're right, so much harder on everyone else around me. But it's done. It's over. I mean, I'm happy to help, you know, especially women who these days, you know, who are just find out. I mean, I'm always, my doctor would give my number out to so many girls.
Really?
I had no problem talking to people I didn't know.
Right.
I'm happy to help.
Right. You know why?
Why, Susan? Because, how come?
Oh, go ahead. I don't want to cut
no,
you
tell
off.
No, tell me. Tell me why. Why am I happy?
Because we are thrivers. We are not survivors.
You are good,
so we don't,
girl.
We don't want to label ourselves with that.
Boy, that's well said. Thrivers, not survivors.
Right. Love it.
Susan, we got to run for news, but thank you so much. Really appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Today I am standing for thrivers.
Beautiful. Look at you dancing.
I can line dance. I have so much room.
Oh.
And I'm standing.
Yeah. I can't imagine a situation where you'd need to line dance during the program, but it's good to know that you have it in your arsenal.
You know what? It does give you a little pop of energy, so move your shoulders a little bit more.
Yeah, a little
there
bit like this.
There you go, yeah. Bounce a little bit.
So for those of you who don't know, normally we here at WGN sit during the show, But,
like most people.
Judy's idea, let's stand and see what happens. And I like it better now. I'm going to always stand,
it's
I think.
It's crazy how
more
you...
More of an energy flow.
You knew you could stand, but I think you just needed to be told to
stand.
I was
scared, as the kids
stand
like to say.
Stand up for radio.
Stand up for radio. That's the charity that Judy and I are behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to do stand up for... what was the... Not Survivors, but...
But for Thrivers.
Thrivers.
Thrivers, not Survivors.
It's kind of bad when I can't remember the name of my charity.
Jude, can I share with you... Now, you're a news person by nature. That's what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. You're a news person. Here's a news story that I heard earlier today and I wanted to know more about. It's my favorite news story of the day. It's about a couple in Waukegan who believed... This is a suburban couple, a Waukegan couple, who believed that their 10-year-old daughter was possessed by a demon.
That's what they claim.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Which is why they did what?
Now, well, for any parent hearing this who's experienced having a 10-year-old, they're all going, yeah. We get it.
Exactly.
10-year-old kids
like,
are
kind of so what?
Oftentimes, yeah. We believe, possessed by demons.
10 on. They could go on until they're 35 sometimes. But yeah, 10's a good age.
I will read you the story, but I have to say this. I could see where a 10-year-old would convince one of the parents that he or she is a demon. The trick is that parent convincing the other parent that their child is a demon. Because a lot of times you go, something's wrong with this kid. I don't know what it is. But then to convince your spouse, we got to do something about the kid. The kid is obviously the spawn of Satan. We must do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part. That's the tricky part, I believe.
Right, right.
I think. A suburban couple is charged with keeping their 10-year-old daughter locked in the basement because they thought that she was possessed by a demon. The Swopes, Randy and Catherine Swope, aged 48 and 49, I don't know why that's in the story, but it always is. They always mention.
Always.
Why don't they mention the heights of the people? Randy Swope, 5'11", and his wife Catherine, 5'6".
Well, you know, sometimes it does go to the heart of the story. How were these, you know, 21-year-old parents?
All right.
Or,
yeah, I guess
they're
so.
In their 40s, almost 50, and they believe in demons.
It's just always funny.
And I'm not saying I believe in demons, but not that anyone's possessed by a demon. Not that it couldn't happen.
Right.
But carry on.
Right. Randy Swopes, 48, Catherine Swopes, 49, were both arrested and held on child endangerment and unlawful restraint charges. Apparently, in Waukegan, and you and I have discussed this many times, it's illegal to lock up a demon.
In Waukegan. And anywhere.
Right.
A human demon.
Right.
Not to be locked up in a room.
Right. Police responded to the home, which is located on the 200 block of Liberty Street in Waukegan, the Demon District, as we call it.
Is there a demon dogs nearby?
Yeah, there's a demon dogs right down the street. After receiving an anonymous call that someone was being held captive in the home's basement, police discovered the girl in the basement living in poor conditions. Now, that's that part of the story. Well, the whole story is sad.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh at all at
the whole story.
The story is very, very sad.
But it does make you wonder what exactly was the event, because a lot of us have children that are troubled in some
way. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and right off the bat say something is wrong with the parents.
I'm with you.
Obviously.
I'm totally with you.
I mean, this is either... Is this just a defense? Did they truly believe that? If so, they have some issues.
I think they
are drugs involved or alcohol involved? I mean...
All good questions.
Mostly, parents who lock up their children and don't feed them and let them...
But here's my curiosity. My curiosity does not lie in the ages of the Swopes, which are clearly printed in the story. Thank you. But it's... Was it one particular event that was like the last straw? Like did they suspect their daughter was a demon and then one thing happened? Like, did her head spin completely around 360 degrees and they look at each other and they go, I told you, that kid's
a demon.
And instead
of getting help, let's just lock her up.
Yes, in the basement.
Yeah.
In the basement. Investigators said that they believe that in the last year, the girl was locked in the basement at night, forced to use a training toilet and made to shower from a bucket. Ugh. Investigators said that she had little contact with any other member of the family. That's horrible. The parents told police that they believed that she was, as we mentioned earlier, possessed by a demon. Can you do that with a straight face when the police come?
Did police comment on whether they thought she was a demon?
Doesn't say. It doesn't say. What if they agree? They look at the kid and they go, I got to tell you, when you first said that.
Yeah, I've never
I did
heard
not
a
think
story
that kid was
that
a demon.
Way. No.
But once I saw the horns on the head, I went, that kid's a demon right there. That's
We've
a
all
demon.
Seen Carrie, okay?
You got a demon kid.
We know
kid.
How this goes down.
The child and her siblings, aged 7, 13, and 15. Now, that's pertinent to the story. The non-demon kids are aged 7, 13, and 15. They were taken into protective custody. In a statement, police said Randy is currently registered as an Illinois State Police murderer and violent offender. What? Randy is currently registered as an Illinois State Police murderer and violent offender against youth registry participant.
Who's Randy?
Randy's the dad, aged 48. Okay. Doesn't say how tall he is or how much he weighs. Randy has been registering properly with the Waukegan Police Department annually since 2012. Are you registered? I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. That group that I just mentioned, the Illinois State Police Murder and Violent Offender Against Youth Registry, does that indicate that he has murdered somebody or has attempted to murder somebody? Would you sign up for a murder registry if you've never murdered someone?
No, I believe you'd have to be. So
a suspect in a murder?
Yeah, if he's registered, as an Illinois State Police murderer and violent offender against youth registry participant.
I've never heard of that.
For a 2008 arrest. Well, that's interesting. Not a conviction, but an arrest.
Right. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's been registering with the Waukegan Police annually since 2012. Randy's being held on $750,000 bond. Catherine on $150,000 bond. Which leads me to believe that he's the one who thinks the daughter's a demon and the wife's just going along with it, right?
Yeah.
Because he's being held at a much higher bond. Both are scheduled to appear in court on July 31st, 2018. Without a doubt, this is a horrible, tragic, awful, awful story. I feel nothing but sorrow for this kid, but it's just so weird that two parents at some point would look at their own child and say, we have a demon. That kid right there, demon child. What happened?
Again, see, I'm suspect that that is really what they think.
That they really honestly believe that.
No, I'm you know.
They're just using it as an excuse,
I'm saying,
right?
Yeah, maybe.
They
yeah,
have
that
to.
One there's one theory or they truly believe it and they're mentally ill.
Yeah.
And any theory is means nothing because this girl does not deserve this.
She's not a demon.
Yeah. Obviously not. She
I'll go out on a limb and say that no humans on the planet are demons.
Well, come on.
Really?
Come on.
You know some?
I work in the newsroom.
All right.
Whatever.
News people excluded from that, that blanket statement. But the rest of us, as bad as your child is, on the worst day he or she has ever had, still not possessed by a demon.
Right.
Other
problems. I would think to be possessed by a demon, there have to be some strict rules about being able to classify that, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure the Catholic Church has some.
Right. Well, they do. You know, we've
protocol
had
for that.
We've had exorcists on the show.
I am not saying it can't happen.
So the church is very careful in the wording. The Catholic Church is extremely careful in the wording when they send a guy out. They're not even allowed to call them exorcists, although one of them reveled in being called an exorcist. But normally, the last one we had on said they don't want to call it an
exorcist.
What are
they called? Demon catchers? Demon destroyers?
I can't remember the term that we had to use when he was on with us.
Hmm.
What was your idea? Demon catcher?
Demon destroyers?
Demon destroyers. Yes. That's what his business card said.
Business card?
Yeah, they have business cards.
Is it called
business.
A Bible?
Yes. All right, let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Judy on WGN. Bill left and it's Judy Pilak. Judy is filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday.
Bill, one more demon point, just because I looked up the story because I needed more information.
Yes.
Because that's who I am. And so, yes, Randy Swopes is registered because he was convicted of a child battery abuse case. And it involved his own son. He tried to sew an open wound by himself. So going back to my original thought, it's obviously, you know, we're not dealing with someone who's...
The Swopes have had a
Mr.
checkered
Swopes,
past.
Yes, and maybe he has some issues related to his mental health.
Right.
Which is why you would lock your daughter in a basement
under horrible
and
conditions.
Say she's possessed by demons.
Right.
Generally, yeah, that's the issue.
Right. On a much happier note, Jude.
Please,
A much happier note. From time to time on the show, there's a phrase I use, and when I use it at home, my wife gets very angry at me because it's a negative phrase. But I say this all the time because I believe this almost all the time. No good deed shall go unpunished. I think that is the truest.
I hate that phrase, but couldn't be truer.
But don't you find on an almost daily basis, if you do something, and I know that's a horrible way to go through life, believing that.
It's not horrible because it happens. It's absolutely true. And you know what? Hmm. You know it ahead of time, mm-hmm. so it doesn't slap you in the face every mm-hmm. time. And you just chalk it up. I mean, I'm like, I knew this was going to happen, but okay.
You still have to do the good deeds.
Absolutely.
But just know more times than not, and it's not every time, but easily 98% of the time, it'll come back to bite you.
Yes, right? Bite you right in the buttocks.
Yes.
And it will hurt.
And then Randy Swopes will try to sew that up. Because that's what he does.
Oh, my goodness. Goofball. Is what he did.
Yes, he is.
Accused of doing.
All right. So this one takes place in England. Because maybe you say to yourself, well, you know that rule that no good deed shall go unpunished? Maybe that's just here in the continental United States. No, it's worldwide.
Worldwide.
It's worldwide.
I suspected as much.
And you were right. There's a story today about a man in Britain who is the winner of a lottery, a $1 million lottery.
Because I hate this story.
You already know this.
I know, and it's... Oh.
A woman let him cut in line. There's a big, long line for people who want to get involved in this lottery for $1 million. She lets him in front, and guess what? You'd never imagine this in a million years. He won.
He gets the winning lotto ticket. Yeah. He buys the ticket that she would have bought.
She would have bought. Now, do we know that part for sure? I guess so.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
She would have gotten.
It was probably a quick pick, whatever they have there. And, yeah.
And that would have been her $1 million.
That's why it's a story.
Yep. Mm. Yep. A British man won more than $1 million in the lottery after a woman let him cut in line. Aaron Waldshaw. How old is Aaron? 32.
It's pertinent. I'm sorry. I wonder how old he is. Is he 24? Is he 68?
Right.
Because I think that goes to the heart of the story.
All right. Aaron Waldshaw, age 32, doesn't say what his favorite color is. What if from now on...
His favorite color is green.
Now it is. What if from now on, in any story about anybody, instead of putting their age, they put what their favorite color is? Wouldn't that be great? Aaron Waldshaw, favorite color midnight blue, said he is now planning his dream wedding to his fiancée, Siri Hall, age 23, after nabbing the big prize, this according to the BBC, but it wouldn't have been possible without what they're calling a stroke of luck. I popped into a nearby shop where me and another lady, even in England, they don't say that properly, Jude. Very upsetting. It shows that the school system is not what it used to be. I popped into a nearby shop where me and another lady approached the same cashier, he said. She must have seen that I was in a rush because she insisted that I went before her. There's your good deed that I referred to. A woman sees a guy is in a hurry and says, "Oh, it's the lottery. Nobody's going to win it. I'll just let him in front of me."
Go ahead.
Wrong. Sure. I don't think I would have been in time to buy my ticket if she hadn't let me go first, he added, saying he'd love to track down the woman, so would she, who let him go first so that he could thank her. No implication that there'd be any money. I'm now a millionaire.
Right.
Throw a couple bucks my way, maybe.
Hey, thanks.
Maybe. Right. That's all he would say.
Well, he only won $1 million, right?
It says a little over. It says a British man won more than $1 million. So probably just over $1 million,
well,
right?
He wouldn't have to give her much because he didn't win much, but maybe a little something.
Let's say it's you in the story and somebody goes out of their way. Would you split it with them evenly? Would you go, boy, without that kind act?
I would give him something, though. But I live by karma. So I feel like that was such good karma.
Yes.
And I have to go give that back now.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would definitely give. And like I said, I mean, even $10,000 goes a long way. $5,000, whatever.
Right.
But I think a little bit more than that.
Years and years ago, now, I don't gamble anymore. There was a time where I gambled quite a bit. And one of the riverboats in Indiana, I was there with some friends. And there was a machine I was waiting to use, a Wheel of Fortune machine. And a guy gets up, and right at the same time as I'm going for the chair, there's a woman going for the chair. We're going at the exact same time.
Right.
And I was raised to believe ladies first. So I said, go ahead. And she goes, no, you were close. I go, no, go ahead. On the second spin, she won $250. I watched it. I watched it happen. So she looks at me. I look at her. And for a split second, I go, maybe there's going to be an offer of, hey, you were kind enough to offer me the chair.
Right.
This would have been your $250.
Because you're still standing there waiting for the chair.
Can I tell you what she said to me? Upon winning the $250 that would have been mine.
Is this going to be another example of no good deed
shall go unpunished? She said, and I quote, this is going to buy me a lot of smokes.
All right, well, that was worth it just because it was such a hilarious line.
She wasn't being funny.
Oh, well, but she wasn't while she
gonna,
was smoking.
She was going to get herself a whole big box of Marlboro.
Did she do this?
No, she did not do that.
See
you around. Did not do that. I was surprised she didn't go, hey, could you go get me a drink? No.
Yeah, on that note, I got a lot of chips here. Maybe you can help me out and help me carry it over to the cage.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And she'll throw me one underdog.
You know. But it's true, though. We know how the world revolves.
Sadly.
I'm not saying anything bad happened to her, but you know what? She didn't enjoy that $250.
But are you a believer then, knowing that there is balance in the universe when things like that happen? It all averages
because
out.
Because I've seen enough instances of that.
Yes.
I've seen enough of, you know, the whole no good deed goes unpunished, but also what goes around comes around.
That's well said. I hope that's right.
Yes,
I'm hoping
it is
right. It has to be.
And if not, you'll die thinking that still, so it's all good.
Yeah. You're very inspirational, Judy. You're very inspirational. All right, we'll take a quick break. In a little while, our friend Dean Richards joins us to talk about movies and entertainment. That's coming up after the news, so stick around. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
He's Dean Richards, America's most powerful film critic. Hello, Dean.
Fine. I love that title.
You know what they're saying about you? They're saying there's only one man in this country that can make or break a film, and that man's name is Dean Richards. That's what they're saying.
I'm going to have all of that put on the world's longest business card that you've ever seen.
No one will believe it, Dean.
I believe it.
I don't believe it.
Oh,
though.
No. What happened to credibility? Dean,
Somebody. My mom would like to see that. My mom would enjoy a business card.
Yeah,
like that.
I don't think she'd believe that either, but maybe.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe. Yeah.
Dean.
My mom still thinks that I fix radios for a living.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
She knows you're in the radio business, but not sure exactly in what capacity.
Yeah, she's pretty sure that I fix like old tube radios.
That's beautiful.
Like the old days where you would take your TV tubes to the drugstore to test them on that giant monstrosity machine, whatever that was.
Wow, you are old. Come on.
I don't remember that.
But maybe my dad did it. I didn't do it.
Yeah, there was always at a drugstore, there was in all the way in the back, there was a machine that looked like Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons, and you would plug your tube in and see if it was working or not.
And see if your tubes are working properly, and then you buy new tubes there.
And you had yours, didn't you have yours tied there, Dean? I'm trying to remember what happened.
Do what you say?
You had your TV tubes tied there, didn't you?
I did have my TV tubes tied. It became too difficult to constantly have them tested.
And then no more TV.
No more TV at the Richards house.
That's what
happens. No, that's what happens.
Right.
Dean, this is a sad story, and Judy and I talked about it early in the show, but we want your reaction to this. It looks like the Brady's house, the house that was used as the exterior on the Brady Bunch, is being sold or demolished. Did you hear about this?
I did hear that story. I don't really know much more than what you've just said, but I'm devastated by stuff like that.
Yeah.
In these iconic places. That, do we know, did they, was it part of like a Hollywood tour or some way where they could monetize the historic nature of that house? Because I would pay to go on a tour of a house like that.
You know what, years
I'm sure
ago,
it looked completely different inside than 100%
what we remember
from the show.
100%. Yeah, I guess, yeah. See, Dean, I thought it was the same inside. No, it looks nothing like that inside, so I don't know that would even work. And it's in a neighborhood. I just passed by it in person a few months ago.
Judy's son lives right by it,
a few
blocks away.
Yeah, he lives a block away, and I noticed, I recognized it immediately, although they had this wrought iron fence in front of it. But, yeah, I don't know how you could, you know, if you just go to see the outside, you could just drive by. Why would you even pay anyone?
Yeah.
Why would you pay anyone, right?
That's the problem.
Is it too much to ask that your son chain himself to a tree to prevent the demolition of it?
No, it's not. You know what? He's still looking for a job, so he obviously has free time.
Yeah.
I will have him chain himself to the chain link fence they have up, or the wrought iron fence, rather. Yeah.
Dean, you know who's very upset about this? The next door neighbors, the Dittmeyers. They're furious about this.
I can understand. Butcher's thing. How's Sam the Butcher feel about all this? He's about to lose a really good family.
Yeah, that's very upsetting to him, isn't it?
Marsha.
Years ago, when my family visited California when I was in high school, we did a tour of all the, you know, the hot spots in and around the television hot spots, and that was one of the houses on the tour, and people just gasped when they saw it. It's like, wow, we know this house inside out. There it is right there.
I'm such a dork. I love stuff like that. Usually when I'm in LA, I don't have time, but when I do, I've gone on those tours of the stars' homes.
Yeah. So would you recommend that?
Fantastic, and you hear great stories. You know, the tour guides are good. They tell you great stories, like the time the tour guide that I was with several years ago drove by and showed us Lucille Ball's house, yeah, and showed us Dean Martin's house, and they all lived near each other. And he said this was the home of Jimmy Stewart, where the bus broke down one day right in front of Jimmy Stewart's house. And this was, you know, in the days before cell phones, so the bus driver goes up to the door, rings the bell, and to use the phone to get some help for the broken down bus.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Stewart answers the door, comes outside, brings cookies for everybody on the bus, signs autographs, takes pictures, and these great stories. Couple that with a story from this bus driver of driving by a famous, still active, famous female singer who had big hedges around her house. And didn't like that the tour buses were coming by her house and would often be seen coming out from behind the hedges to give the one-finger peace salute to the tour bus that was driving by. I wish I could tell you who it was, but that story is slightly libelous.
Oh, no, be careful. Be careful. But that's beautiful that she'd flip off a tour bus.
Isn't that why they're famous? They, you know, don't you want to be recognized?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point?
Dean, you want to be recognized, but you know, when you're at home, you want your privacy also. But so big deal, a bus is driving by.
Yeah, they're not bothering them.
You have big hedges around your house. Just stay behind the hedge, and no one will see you.
You know what?
You don't have to come outside.
She's the publicity seeker.
Yes. You want your privacy so much that you come out from behind the hedge in order to flip off the bus that's going by. That doesn't make a bit of sense.
It takes effort.
I hate her, whoever she is.
On the tour that we took, my family and I took, again, it's all the big houses of the TV stars.
So you would recommend some.
I
would never think to do that, but now hearing you two.
It's fun. All right, so here's our tour bus. We went by Johnny Carson's house, and it gets almost no reaction from the people on the bus. Then we go by Barbara Streisand's house, and it gets almost reaction. Then he tells us, we're going by this house, and he goes, and one time, he goes, and I was driving the bus when it happened, Stacy Keach came out and picked up his paper, and the guy sitting across from me goes, whoa. He was impressed by Stacy Keach.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow is right.
Stacy Keach was in town right now doing a play at the Goodman.
A play about that incident. About the time he went and picked up his newspaper.
You know what? Stacy Keach is on the TV morning show tomorrow. I'm not going to ask him anything about his play. I'm only going to ask him about the tour buses.
Say hi. Hey, how was that paper you picked up that one time,
Stacy? You still have it?
Right. If he's got a certain technique. Let me see if Bill's dorkdom goes even this far. And I suspect that it probably has if I know my Bill Lefts.
Yep.
Have you gone to the Hollywood cemeteries also?
We went to Roselawn when I was there. That's there, the one that Marilyn Monroe is there. There's a bunch of famous people at Roselawn. We drove through that.
There's a bunch of famous cemeteries. Roselawn is one of them. One's called Hollywood Forever. I don't remember all the names, but it's kind of cool. You walk around and where Marilyn Monroe's... she's entombed in a mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk just a few steps away, Merv Griffin is there, and Don Knotts. And
aren't there flowers at Marilyn Monroe's grave every day?
I think
always.
From Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio paid a company to do that forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
And can you go there just on
your own? It's a mausoleum. It's not an actual grave, but in front of the little crypt and where that her remains are in. There are always what appear to be fresh flowers. Yes.
Wow. Can you go to the cemeteries just on your own, or do you need to do that through a service?
Oh, okay. Nope. No, I went, a friend of mine, I was out there and had some time, and a friend of mine said, you want to go to a cemetery? I'll give you an idea of some of my friends and what we like to do. But yeah, we went to one of these cemeteries, and it was the greatest. It was so much fun, because you're getting close to, the remains, I guess,
of the stars. Yeah.
Of these people who are legendary, whoever thought that I would be standing near Barney Fife.
six feet above, if my calculations are correct. Right. That's what a feeling that must be.